This podcast is brought to you by iGel. iGel offers the next generation edge operating system designed for simple, secure, and high performance access to virtual desktops and cloud workspaces. Easy to implement and straightforward to operate.
At the third stroke, it will be.
Well, hello and welcome to EUC Digest, your bi-weekly audio snack on everything EUC related. In today's show, we'll be talking about telecommuting and working from home. But before we dive into telecommuting and working from home and all related details, allow us to introduce ourselves. My name is Erik van Klaveren and I'm your host for this episode. And with me in the air is
Jits Langendijk.
And Ingmar Vrij.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing excellent. Thanks for asking.
So we're all working from home today, as we're all called in.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah, we're all working remotely today. But it's not the three of us, right? So we have a guest, a very special guest in our show today, right? So what have you find out about our guest?
It's up to you, Ingmar.
Did you know that our guest speaks at least six languages, not including any coding languages.
Not including any coding languages.
Not including.
So what if we include any coding languages? Well, we ask him later, right?
Let's ask him later. I only have 10 fingers. And did you know that he once convinced a taxi driver to drive through the McDonald's in Catalan?
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
For a hamburger?
That's an excellent question for our next guest.
Well, if you still don't know who our guest is today, please introduce yourself.
Well, I'm not sure about those 10 languages or six or how many were mentioned, but I do know my name is Remco Wijnen and I'm happy to be a guest today. And I bet you have some amazing questions for me, so I'm all ready to be amazed.
Yeah, hi Remco. Thank you for being on our show today. Could you explain our listeners who you are and what you do and why did Ingmar finds those interesting facts of you? And could you explain the taxi driver with the hamburger? At least I made up the hamburger, but
okay. So once upon a time, there was a European synergy before it was killed off.
Which was in Barcelona.
Which was, of course, in Barcelona, a great place to be. Not particularly right now, but most of the times. And I worked with Ingmar at the time for a company called Pepperbyte. And we joined Synergy. I think we had a great night out. And we got a little bit hungry on our way home. And some of the guys wanted to go to McDonald's. Apparently, everything in the direct neighborhood was closed. So I convinced the taxi driver that he should definitely take us to McDonald's. And I thought he also thought it was quite funny. So he drove us through the McDrive. We got ourselves some food. And later on, I understood that someone in the cab actually expensed all the food as well, which is a what you put on a receipt if it's like 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. Is that like breakfast or is it dinner? Or I don't know. I don't think I wanted this expense bill.
But there was nothing in there for the cab driver except for the experience.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's a pretty cool cab driver, to my opinion. So before we dive into telecommuting and working from home, I'd like to mention Gurami BV for sponsoring the studio microphones and bringing our voices to you as a listener. Today's topic is on remote working, telecommuting. Remco, are you in an office daily or are you an experienced remote worker?
I would say I'm a very experienced remote worker because my office is very remote. It's in a different country. Since last August when I joined Amazon Web Services, I think I've been to the office three times. And for the rest, I work remote. So, remote working is the default for me.
So when you say you go into the office, is that, the headquarters, or do you have an office in somewhere here in around Amsterdam?
So we actually have a couple of offices in the Netherlands. I just haven't been there yet. I've been invited by the Dutch colleagues a couple of times. I've been to a couple of customer visits, but you know, working for a cloud company, you know, remote is the default for most things.
You said I've been to an office 3 times. Which offices did you go to if you weren't in the Dutch offices?
So my day one was in a building called LHR 16. So you need to know that we have a naming convention after airports. So any office is named after the closest airport and then a number, you know, to make it unique. It was quite a lovely building. It was all brand new. It looked really, really nice. It had great coffee. Unfortunately, this was just the office where we had our welcome. It was not like the office where our team started to work. So my team is in something called LHR 14, which is in a different part of London. It's an area called Holborn, Holborn Viaduct. Pretty nice area, still relatively close to the city. So I actually believe that if I go to London, my commute is sometimes still shorter than for some of the colleagues who travel, you know, from outside of London.
Okay.
But I generally just go over when we have like, you know, to socialize or when we have a larger team meeting where some of the colleagues from the US come over. For the rest, everything remote.
So that's good. I guess good for the topic today that basically all the four of us are experienced remote workers, not just working in the office, probably all have started in the office at some point in our career and then slowly made our shift to working from a home office.
Yeah, I am definitely.
Remco, you mentioned there are one or several offices in the Netherlands.
Correct.
But there is no need for you to travel to those offices, right? You have a team that's being located all over Europe, all over the globe. So just to collaborate with them, it's easier to use online tools instead of going to an actual physical office.
Yes, I might be a special case because I'm the only team member which is physically in the Netherlands. So most of my team members are in London or at least around London. And the larger team is all Seattle-based. So whilst I can meet with colleagues in the Netherlands, those would be more like, you know, the sales teams or SE teams or supporting customers locally. There is no direct need for me to be physically in the office. The most funny thing I find is before I started this job, my job has always been around end-user compute, building virtual desktops. And now for the very first time in my life, I am a daily user of a virtual desktop. So I'm eating my own dog food, so to say.
And you never did before. You only were selling it of implementing a VDI.
I mean, I guess as an IT or admin or consultant, I mean, you're not really dependent on Windows apps. I mean, you typically have email. And you probably remote desktop into something, but not necessarily like a managed desktop. Given the flexibility that, you know, I can leave the desktop with everything open and in the current state, I can connect from anywhere. I can work from any device. So I'm kind of like experiencing all the things that I've always said were amazing for users. And yeah, it works. I'm happy with it.
You probably also met some downsides to it.
I'm in the fortunate position that I don't have performance issues because I have quite a powerful desktop. And without making this some kind of advert, but I have an option in my desktop to say, give me more CPU, give me more disk space, give me more memory. So I had the flexibility to choose between, I believe, a light, a normal, and a heavy desktop. So I thought normal would be a good choice, which is already 8V CPU and 64 gigs of memory. So that makes me quite a happy camper.
Nice. So you work from home. This is something you've done for some time. Now working for a cloud vendor, this is something with your team located in a totally different geolocation. This is something that you just have to do. But is this something anyone can do who doesn't have to be physically located on a place to do work?
Yes, I mean, my experience is mostly from my own team, but no one is actually in the office every day. So most of my team work remote, by default. They usually meet up once a week in the office, just because, you know, they're closer and it's convenient. I think as one of the policies, every meeting we do has like a Chime invitation coupled. Chime is like the Amazon version of the Teams or GoToMeeting or Zoom or whatever tool that you might want to use. We also have pretty good conferencing facilities. And we have a policy where webcams are preferred to be on, which was something new to me because I usually never did. I'm still not sure if it has benefits for people to see my ugly face, but apparently this is company policy. So I installed a nice webcam on top of my monitor and I'm usually turning it on.
So what's your experiences with that, with turning the webcam on? I just, my personal preference is definitely turning it on in team meetings. So you get a more, you know, human touch to it and, you know, actually see how people react to what you do and probably get more engaged. But is it, do you have the same experience now that you enable the webcam during such meetings?
So sometimes there is like let's call it a hybrid where some people are in a conference room and then the facility highlights the video of the person who's talking. I find that to be a great feature because if, you know, there's 10 people in a room and you're remote, you've no clue who starts talking. So video is something, you know, that can enhance that bit. Some people use video as a sort of raise your hand in meetings. So they turn off video. And if they really want to say something, they turn the video on, which is like a signal. I'm ready, you know, to say something to prevent, you know, the everyone's interrupting everyone thing. I think it depends, you know, maybe for a large group, it has some benefits. For a smaller group or, you know, especially a one-to-one, I don't care. I mean, I don't think in a one-to-one video adds that much, but that might be very personal.
Yeah, it probably depends on the other side. So have you ever done this for customer meetings? I mean, if you're a remote worker.
Wait. Isn't it meaningful to set some guidelines before you do this?
Do what?
Like the raise hands and before you interrupt anybody, isn't there a company policy or some guidelines who states, okay, if you want to talk, you have to turn it on? It's like...
it's more or like less the same, right? When you're in a physical conversation, right? You it's only that you're a little bit limited using online tools, but still, people find their way on how to, well, to stop someone from talking, right? Just to cut someone short, and people find their way around this.
No, but when we started using cell phones, there was this unwritten rule. If you get your connection get disconnected, the caller will ring back, so you don't call each other both and get each other's voicemails. Isn't there a same?
Now you
same?
Tell me.
No. Only 50% of the population or cell phone users were loyal to this unwritten rule. So
yeah, I did.
But isn't there some kind of rule for video conferencing?
So what I think is important here is that by turning on a webcam, making it a video conference, you are mimicking a physical meeting. And I think especially when you talk about remote working and doing work remote, like from home or some other office, you're creating a distance. You're creating a physical distance, which in this case, in this time in the year, in the world, probably is a good thing. But you're creating a distance also in how you see people and how you, I mean, I know there are a lot of people working remotely that feel a distance in a bad way. And by turning on a webcam, you create a connection with each other. You can see each other. You can see how people respond. And also when someone wants to say something, like in a physical meeting, you can raise your hand or you can just, you know, change the way you look. So I think that's why I'm personally a fan of training on the webcam, also because, you know, when you are disengaged, and I think having a disengaged someone in a customer meeting, and that's why I was asking for the customer, that's something you can probably prevent by having a webcam versus, you know, when you're physically in a meeting, you know, when people disconnect you, it's kind of awkward.
Yeah, do you experience any differences between, like, for example, with customers or internal meetings with and without video enabled?
Good question. I haven't really given that much thought. So, I mean, there's benefits of keeping it on, you know, especially if you haven't met in person before. So I guess, you know, that's also a distinct difference. So if you've never met before, you know, it's kind of good to see a face with a name, and, you know, it gives you an ability to see emotion. So there's definitely benefits, but, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't have a good meeting without a webcam.
Yeah. So of course, working remotely and making use of tools like, well, the tools that we mentioned, tools to collaborate on a digital platform. Are there any other benefits, or what is it that you really like working remotely?
The thing I like most is usually when I start up in the morning, I go in my living room and I say, "Alexa, good morning." This means that she opens the blinds, the lights go on, the radio goes on. I make my first coffee, and then my best morning starts if I hear large traffic jams on the radio and I'm not in it, because I've done that for so many years, every day to the customer and back, you know, by end of the day. And I think we've all had our fair share of this. So I can still enjoy this moment where, you know, I don't have to do this.
So I think what you said, I mean, I think it resonates for everyone. Like, hey, you know, I just get up in the morning, have my fresh cup of coffee, and, you know, if all the time for your, you know, work-life balance, probably. But I think there, you know, it's good to mention there are some downsides to remote working as well, right? So I think it's April 2018, it was a study that found out that, let's say, a third of the staff felt that working remotely meant they could not switch off in their personal time. So, you know, we always talk about work-life balance and that remote working, and especially when you work from home, that it gives you the benefit of, you know, creating your own balance. But I think that's a struggle for many. Can you relate to that, or do you have some tips for the audience how you switch off?
So I think that there's two potential issues with working remotely or working from home. You know, the obvious one being, you know, do you get disengaged with your team? You know, do you feel involved in what you're doing? Do you have all the tools that you need? The other one is, you know, like go the other way. I think, you know, for many employers, they fear that people will not work hard enough. But I actually believe that, you know, the biggest pitfall is that you're constantly working, because there isn't really a clear a difference between working and not working. You're there, your workplace is there, you can answer this one email. You can do this one thing. So for myself, I've tried to create a routine, which means I try to start at more or less the same time in the morning. I try to do a couple of hours of work, and then I always go out for a walk. I always go out to do daily groceries to the supermarket. I can easily buy, you know, like for a couple of days, but I like to go out, get some fresh air, meet some people. Or I try to meet friends or you know, people I work with or that I know more business-wise for lunch, you know, have your social things, then come back to work. I'm not very strict in, you know, I stop at a certain time, so I usually try to stop not too early in the afternoon, but I also try to, you know, put in an extra hour after dinner time. So it's kind of like you're flexible, see where you go, how it fits in your day.
And probably also finding your own balance in this, right? So it's probably a matter of learning how to work from home and finding, you know, understanding that, hey, I've done enough. Being confident, I've done enough.
And in small things, I found that a wireless headset is a great thing, because sometimes you have back-to-back meetings, and this makes it very easy to stand up. And if you're just in listening mode, you can go out, you can make a coffee, or you can walk around a bit. So I've invested in a good wireless headset because that gives me the ability to walk around a bit and not sit in a chair like all day long.
Which is better for yourself for sure. So one thing which keeps coming back to me. So I know that when you're in a physical office, people can see you. So you are at work. And I know that I always keep saying, you know, work is not a place, and I will keep saying it, but being in a physical office is like, hey, I'm at work. So people see you and people are like, ah, you know, Remco, he's at work. You know, he's always in there late. No matter what you do, you're in the office, right? So it's kind of the old mantra of doing work. You're physically present, you start early, you're leaving late, and doesn't say anything about productivity. But when you are, you know, a remote worker, people can't see you. So how do you make sure that people actually see what you do, right? So because it's not just being there, how do you, what is your tip or your tricks to show that you're actually being productive, regardless of, you know, doing groceries in the middle, walking the dog, etc.?
So, I mean, obviously you need to make sure that, you know, that your colleagues have an understanding of what it is that you're doing. So for instance, we have a weekly team call where we just go through, you know, like, what have you been doing this week? Are you stuck somewhere? Do you need help? Or, you know, is everything going well? So I think that's a really good one. Just speaking for myself, I'm using Chime Channels, which is quite similar to how you would use channels in, for instance, Slack or other solutions to give updates on stuff that I'm working on. So it means that, you know, people are interested, can read up on, you know, what you've been doing. You know, when I joined this company, it was quite a change because I came from a 30 people company and I went to a almost 700,000 people company. So I was kind of like thinking like, wow, this company, it probably has, you know, like zillions of managers in all kinds of layers. And actually, I'm quite amazed that we do not seem to have this. So we have a lot of freedom. Measurement is done on output, not on like, have you been online in your desktop? I mean, nobody is measuring like, have you been logged on, or, you know, what time do you log on in the morning? So it's kind of up to your manager to, you know, to have a good picture of what it is that you're doing, rather than, you know, are you spending 8, 9, 10 or X hours a day? So that, I think you're touching a good point. I think it's important if you work remote, you know, that you give your team members and your manager a good view into the things you're doing.
Yeah. So say what you do and do what you say. But I'm just hearing you say like 700,000 people. I mean, I know this is completely unrelated, but sometimes we have people who do reply to all. I cannot imagine what it's like having an organization with 700,000 people.
In Slack, at here.
Yeah, or an Outlook, all employees. That's going to be massive.
But
there you need to educate people, right? Your workforce on how to use like the CC or BCC fields in Outlook, right? Because we talked about rules or well, etiquettes, so to speak, within telecommunication solutions. But the same applies to email as well.
Yeah, I agree. Fortunately, you know, we seem to do more in Chime than in email. So I don't have like a bombed out inbox when I'm away for the days.
So actually Chime, so that's something I need to look up. But you said Chime is kind of like Slack, Teams, or, you know, it's, let's say, we call it a workstream collaboration tool. I know, using Slack on a daily basis, it's just a constant feed of interruptions, email probably as well. Working from home, I'm also distracted by other stuff. So I've got a baby cam here, and I just, whenever I knew, you know, a package getting delivered for my bike, I just like, hey, you know, it's like a squirrel. I basically stop, do what I should do. I learned my way around it. Okay. So it's
not stop bad. Ordering stuff.
Yeah, no, never. How do you avoid getting interrupted? Yeah. Right? So how do you stay focused on the job at hand? Things you wanted to get done that day. What's your tip?
I'm hoping to find the answer to that one someday.
Ingmar, you touched upon this, right? I mean, getting the satisfaction out of your work, right? You always wake up and well, Remco fulfills his first task to say good morning to Alexa, just for his own convenience, of course. But then, of course, at least when I speak for myself, I always have this list of things that I want or need to do. And maybe I want to do, that's the highest priority, right? Usually it's not, but... So it's always finding the right amount or finding this fulfillment out of the day that you get the satisfaction that you actually did something, that you delivered something, which is already a challenge in the IT industry, I guess. So do you recognize this or are you always happy in the end of the day asking Remco?
I mean, you know, I mean, everyone starts the day with today I want to do like task A, B, and C, right? And sometimes, you know, you actually manage to do this. Sometimes you only manage to do halfway A and you get interrupted. And then, you know, you come to this decision point. Should I finish task A even though the time for task B has started? Or do I move on to task B? Or actually, do I ignore both A and B because C is much more interesting? The latter being my pitfall. I guess the most important thing is, you know, when you want to do A, B, and C on a day and a colleague reaches out to you and he says, you know, can you help me with something? And you can help your colleague on the way. I mean, and then you only manage to do A at that day. I mean, if that gives you a good feeling, fine. I mean, I think the trick is, you know, it's okay to be interrupted, even if it's for a personal thing. It's okay to not finish everything you wanted to do, but if you didn't manage to do either A, B, or C for the whole week, then you've got a different problem, right?
That's it. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest challenge of you know, not having someone standing behind you like, so, okay, Remco, how's job A doing or how's job B doing? And I've been in remote worker for a long time as well. And I think for me, what worked is either having a whiteboard. I've got a whiteboard there, you know, in my office where I write down like, hey, these are the things I want to do this week. These are the activities I'd like to achieve today. And actually I write them down and I check them off. So it's, you know, it gives some psychological success moment. Like, hey, I've done this. And actually I just received a book from my manager. I'm not sure if that's a hint, but I received a book, the Pomodoro effect, Pomodoro technique it is, which is basically, you know, a tomato. So, you know, a clock you use in the kitchen, which is 25 minutes. You start the clock, you start working on a task, and you don't do anything else but the task, which is a list of things, activities you write down. And actually, I've got a Stream Deck here on my desk. So I have some nice fancy device with all buttons. And actually, I have, you know, a red Pomodoro, which has 25 minutes. I click on the Pomodoro. I click on Do Not Disturb. I will get no notifications coming in at all, except for my phone. And then I just focus on that task. I'm at chapter one, so I'm not very successful yet. But I think that's one of those things like, hey, you know, make a list of things you want to do. Like you said, Remco, A, B, and C, these are the things I want to do today, you know, and be flexible as in, you know, don't have to be very rigid. Like, sorry, you're calling me, but I'm at 25 minutes. But especially, I mean, today, this week, a lot of people across the world are working from home, forced probably. I think that's one of the biggest challenges. How do you not get distracted? How do you not procrastinate on all the things that you wanted to do?
The distraction from your family or the engagement from your spouse, is that also important in this? I'm asking the both of you because you, Ingmar, as well as Remco, both work from home for a long time. Ingmar did a couple of sessions about this. So how important is to engage your family in this whole telecommuting?
I'll let you start, Remco, and then I'll
add on.
If I have something to add, I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, in my situation, I plan in specific moments, right? I know that at certain days in the week, I just want to be at school at 2 o'clock to pick up my youngest. So I try to block these in my calendar. Like, you know, if there is something you want from me at this time, please reach out and see how important it is, because it's not like a concrete, solid rule. But I try to keep this time for family, right? And working from home makes that easy. I can go to school, pick her up, You know, spend a good 30 minutes because it always takes bloody ages before she actually rocks up, even though all the other kids are already out of class. But it's a great moment for me because it's fun. It takes your thoughts away. And usually when you return to your workplace, you'll do a better job of the tasks that you had at hand. But, you know, sometimes if there is really something important, you know, and I can't, and I know this in the morning, I just tell her, like, you know, I'm not picking you up today, so please come home by yourself because she's old enough to do this. Fine. You know, I think it's largely up to yourself how you plan this, but early on, I've definitely had the pitfall of, you know, I wanted to put in at least, you know, the amount of work I would have done in the office for my own judgment, even though I was probably already putting in, you know, much more. So I was really blocking myself from everyone at home and, you know, like madly working, like pushing the keyboard and doing stuff. I think it's good to get a break from now and then. So even if you are not interrupted by all of your colleagues, you know, nobody can work 4 to 6 hours straight. So you need to stop, get a break, do something else, and then go on.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, family is a good distraction. So even though sometimes it's unplanned, that's can still be a very, you know, happy distraction. I think, to add on what Remco said, I think it's important to plan, you know, and make agreements, you know, appointments. Like, I have an agreement with my wife that I work from home, you know, in the top floor. She actually works from home as well, but on the first floor. And when the kids are here, the kids know that, you know, daddy is working, so don't come into the office when the door is closed. And I try to keep it open so that they can walk in whenever that suits them. I think my biggest problem still, and I haven't found an answer yet, is that the youngest one is a year old. The coffee machine is downstairs, and I like going downstairs grabbing my coffee because I get my exercise, I meet some people, but she definitely does not get it when daddy goes back up. So each time I grab a coffee, which is between 5 to 10 times a day, I have a crying baby, well, can't call her a baby anymore, crying one-year-old on my leg saying, Betty, please don't go.
Coffee machine in your office and also a treadmill.
Yeah, no.
But we've all seen, you know, the biggest mistake. I think it was someone in Australia or the UK who was, you know, like doing a remote thing with his webcam on. And his two kids came in and, you know, his wife was crawling under the desk to grab the kids. And he was like frantically pushing his kids away. I think in this...
It was know, a news.
It was a live news.
Yeah.
News that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I've had this happening, not quite to that extent because my kids are bigger. But for instance, my dog came in a remote meeting and, you know... people in the session said, hey, is that your dog? What kind of dog do you have? You break out for 1-2 minutes. It's a relaxed sphere, and, you know, and then you go on. So I think if the guy would have just said, you know, hey, please excuse me, but these are my kids. You know, this is kid A, this is kid B. Say hi, wave, yeah. And then go on, you know. I mean, yeah. Is it bad if that happens? I don't know. I wouldn't really care.
It brings a human touch to the meeting.
Definitely.
Yeah, and now everybody talks about it in a bad way because the news guy was actually, in my mind,
he was not really
nice to his
properly.
Kid. No, exactly. No. So that's why we talk about it, and it had, I think, a better touch if you were, more gently and laughed about it. And these are my kids, and. Say hi.
Yeah. I actually have a very funny story about this, which might fit in really well here. In my garden, I used to have a big trampoline for the kids to jump on. And I used to work on a small office on the first floor facing the garden because it's nice to have a window outside. And my kids were smaller then. I was pretty annoyed that they would jump up and wave to me and... they just told me like a year later or something that it was actually a sport they did amongst the three of them. So who could get me distracted first? So they would jump, go by my window, wave, and, you know, bet on how long it would take for me to wave or say something to them. And whoever got that had won, you know, like the contest.
Perfect.
You have terrible kids. Why would you want to do kids. That?
the point is, my terrible kids have a great father.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
They've got an example. Yeah, yeah. But I think one other thing around family is that Remco and I, we work from home, like, let's say 99% of the time, probably, and the rest maybe we're traveling. I think if you are an occasional remote worker, one of the challenges that I faced back then was like, so you work from home, and then your wife sends a message like, oh, while you're at home, can you please do the laundry? While you're at home, can you please do the dishes? You do get a lot of those, like, while you're at home, like, you're at home, so you're not working. I think that's one of the obstacles that maybe, Remco, you no longer are facing because you work from home, like, permanently. But I think that's one of those things where I need to make some, you know, good agreements with you know, the wife, the husband, or whatever, like, hey, you know, I might be at home, but I'm actually working. Can you relate to this, or, you know, Eric, Yitz?
Yeah. I can relate to that. That's probably because I work, I think, 50% from home. The other 50 or 60% I'm customer facing. Yeah, my wife tend to send those messages or ask me these tasks because I'm at home. And I think now, especially, there is a great push from organizations for people to work from home. There's a lot of people who have to deal with these same questions. And I constantly have to remind my wife I'm still working. But that's probably because I'm not only working from home. I'm kind of both. So maybe that's the difference.
I guess it's also difficult for family and children to see when you're just working from home and you could potentially be interrupted for something, and when you're like really in a call or you know, maybe even in a webinar as a presenter, and they really cannot disturb you. I mean, there is no like traffic light in front of your room or on top of your monitor. That's something I've always wanted.
Yeah, I want some on-air thing in the hallway, but my wife doesn't allow it.
I've seen people do that, right? So at their office, there's like a stop sign, like don't enter or enter gently or green, you know, walk in whenever you want.
Especially these days, right? We're all suffering from this. Well, we're not physically suffering, but the some people are suffering from the coronavirus. But we all, well, we have to stay at home, work remotely, right? So we've seen a couple of pictures on Twitter, for example, that some mothers all of a sudden working from home and the kids were not used to this. So she had this complete list of rules on her door whenever there's a red sign, and she just used these portable lights of her bike. Whenever it's on, I'm recording a video. I don't know what she's doing, but I see some people laughing, but okay, we will get this out. But
with a red sign, red sign. Yeah, and she was recording a video. Okay, continue.
Okay, nice. I'm thinking about the cab driver again, but maybe that's just me. But but there was this list, right? Mommy, can we get some candy? The answer is yes, you can if you first eat an apple, right? All those stupid, well, stupid, maybe good, but funny rules. And this was more and more like making fun of the old situation that all of a sudden people are forced to work out of home. So, but of course, listeners can't see this, but we all have our cameras up and running. And Remco, he's working out of his his windows. No, his kitchen. So, do you have a separate place? And you mentioned like the office on the first floor, where the kids were trying to distract you on the trampoline. But do you have a physical place where you can really focus on your work, and where you have these rules that no one is allowed to disturb you, or?
So I still have the small office, but I don't really like to sit there because it's small. And, you know, it's like low oxygen after a while. And if you open the window, you have noise from outside. So usually I sit at my kitchen or dining table. And I have a large screen that I can, swivel and put back to the wall so that the table can be freed for other purposes. So this is my preferred place because I have contact with other people. I'm close to the coffee machine. I have a view outside. You know, if packages are being delivered, I can open the door. So I usually, that's my place where I sit. If it gets too crowded downstairs, I kind of like take my laptop and go upstairs where I have a separate monitor to work and sit. But honestly, 90% of time, I'm just sitting at my kitchen table.
And for you, Ingmar, you really invested in your home office, right?
I keep investing in a lot of stuff, but yes. I because I have my wife who's working from home as well. She's got her own company. And usually, you know, the 1 year old is at home as well, while the other goes to school. So I needed to have a, you know, dedicated physical space. And yeah, I invested in, you know, a large monitor, a good webcam, like Remco said, you know, good audio. So for meetings, but also for when I'm working, I'd like to listen to some audio. So it needs to be, let's say, bearable, since there's nothing else to listen to, then probably that needs to be good. And yeah, I mean, I guess to me, it's important to have a setup where there's nothing that's distracting me, and having, you know, garbage on my desk or, you know, things that annoy me, that does distract me. So therefore I just keep investing in stuff that makes me feel good and feels like, hey, this is, I could just focus on the job at hand. So, like I said, I've got a, you know, Elgato Stream Desk, Stream Deck on my desk. So I can very easily just, you know, mute all my notifications. I can very easily start my Pomodoro, some of my timers. That's really important to me so that I can just focus on the job at hand. And whenever I'm done with that 25 minutes, I can focus on other stuff. So I can watch my Facebook, I can watch my Slack, 5 minutes in each segment, and then I move on. So yeah,
that brings up a question, Ingmar. How do you find task switching? Because I usually find that when I'm, you know, in the middle of some more complicated task, that switching is very unproductive because, you know, if you come back to it later or maybe even next day, it takes me, you know, significant time to get back up to the level where I stopped because you need to, you know, re-engage, rethink, where was I, what was I doing? So I kind of like the theory of what you're doing with the Pomodori, but reality kicks in. And it's not suitable for all tasks that you're doing, right?
So, yeah, no, and I hear what you're saying. And I guess, like I said, I just finished chapter one. Chapter two actually is about distractions. And they talk about external distractions and internal distractions. So external.
Are you too distracted to go to other chapters?
Yes. No, that's actually true. too busy doing other stuff. But yeah, I mean, external distractions is like, hey, a Slack message coming in. Hey, a new email comes in. And whatever comes in, like physical or around you, are those distractions. These are things you can basically mute, right? So I can prevent that. The internal distractions are your mind popping up like, oh, by the way, you need to do this. Or, hey, this task is important. Things where your mind is like, hey, I need to do something else. And these are things I need to write down and just so I can just set them apart. I think the task switching, you know, this technique being there for, I don't know, 20 years or so, apparently 25 minutes is a good time for you to focus. And after 25 minutes, you are less focused. And, you know, regardless of using this Pomodoro technique or something else, after 30 minutes or so, I usually do something else anyway. It happens. So I either go for a coffee, I just go for a stretch, I do something. So I think it's a normal flow. And then after the 25 minutes, doing something else for 3 to 5 minutes, I go back to my 25 and I'm super focused. So whatever I'm working on, that works for me. You don't need to finish it in one of those Pomodoros. You can do it in 3 or 4 or 5. So, like, you know, sometimes I write documents, sometimes I create a PowerPoint. You know, I used to develop a little bit, not nearly as good as Remco can do, but I used to develop some stuff. I hear what you say. Whenever you're working on something, you don't want to stop doing it because you're in the flow and you want to keep doing that. So keep going back to that flow. But the 25 minutes, well, so far works, even though I'm at chapter two.
So we talked about the importance of a schedule and how stuff is being done. Some use of a dedicated office and equipment. But when I'm working from home, can I stay in my PJs or do I need to get dressed or can I do it naked with only a tie? What are your thoughts on this? Let's ask Yitz.
Well, I've seen some changes here. So naked is not an option, right? But that's just personally me.
Because of the webcam, or
No. I've seen I'm at NVIDIA now for over 1.5 years, and before that I was wearing shirts, like white shirts, to the office, and now I'm more or less constantly always wearing like t-shirts. So more convenient stuff, and because all of a sudden it's less important. And although Remco mentioned that AWS people tend to use the webcam always, at NVIDIA we don't. I don't know what it is. Maybe just to save on bandwidth and have an optimal bandwidth available just for the audio stream. But I've seen some changes personally. But then again, and I think Ingmar mentioned this in one of his presentations on this topic as well. Your personal feeling when you do your hair, when you wash your face, when you're wearing a nice shirt, an iron shirt, this changes also something in your mindset doing your work. So I think that this is or can be very, very important. So for me, no PJs, just wearing... And I have this stupid habit that I always want to have my shoes on.
There you go. So I think it's personal preference for sure. Mostly personal preference. And like you said, the people listening to the podcast can see it, but I'm wearing a shirt, even though I work from home. I have no intention going into the office today. So it's for one, it's a psychological thing. So I like that structure as well, getting up like at a certain time. I mean, my daughter normally needs to go to school anyway. But I like to, have that structure where I get up in the morning. I don't read my email like when I'm in bed. I first take a shower, take the breakfast, bring the daughter to school. And then I wear my office clothes, more or less. I'm not wearing a suit, but I'm wearing my shirt because then I know, hey, I am at work. So my mindset is I'm actually working, right? So this is my, I'm not going outside to hit the gym or do whatever. This is what I'm doing now. And the second benefit is, and why you probably should not wear a PJ or go naked, Eric, is what if this meeting happens, right? And it does happen. I do get some calls randomly from quite high managers, VPs who just call with a webcam. It's not, at that point, you don't have time to switch your clothes anymore. You either accept a call or you don't. And certain calls you don't want to miss out. So I'd rather be, in the right clothes here. So do whatever you like, Eric.
I'm not saying I'm naked behind a webcam because nobody want to see me naked. It was just something came to mind.
But I also think, the whole PJ thing is a British/American thing. I mean, people in the Netherlands, at least men, usually do not wear PJs at all.
No, I don't.
Fair point.
Vendor swag is there, right? I usually wear like shirts that I get for free, but that's personal. I mean, got to give them some use. Got a lot of Cetric shirts. I wear them daily.
Okay, let's stay on topic.
Yeah, let's stay on topic. But I mean, to the topic of what do you wear when you work from home? I think it's if you are a, let's say, new remote worker, you just started doing it. I think there's a lot of pitfalls that can be avoided. And if structure is one of those, start with the structure. Get up the way you would have done when you wanted to go into the office, wear whatever you would normally do when you go into the office. And over time, like I said, yes, over time that can probably change because you are used to the scenario of like, hey, I work from home. I have a work-life balance and it works. And I do get my work done. I do actually achieve all the goals that I wanted and maybe even overachieved because I have more time. But I think that's something that you can change over time when you work longer from home.
I guess it's all also very contextual, right? I mean, first of all, company culture in general. I mean, if you work at a bank and you are generally expected to wear a suit, they might expect that, when you work from home, you are, at least wearing a shirt or something. Versus like if you do an occasional call, say in your evening, because you're serving another time zone, it's in the middle of summer and you end up in shorts and t-shirt. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I mean, it's very contextual, right? Versus what Ingmar is saying, if you're having a one-to-one with your company's executive director, you might want to think about the shorts and the flip-flops. I can imagine that. Yeah.
But is there any special type of training for this to get prepared on telecommuting or working from remote or home locations? You need some type of discipline on this to get yourself in this flow of working from home.
Yeah, you're touching a good point. I haven't had one in the past. I mean, and it's a topic I read from time to time on Twitter. People are sharing their thoughts on this.
But there isn't any training to my knowledge. We should monetize this.
I guess.
So I think that's kind of the reason why this podcast is here in the first place, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and I think what's important, at least I mean Remco and Jitz as well. I mean, for those people who work from home, we meet up, even though we work from home in our own home office. That doesn't mean we don't see other people from other vendors who are in the same. You know, same type of role. So you know, every month or so, well, we try to. We meet up with people like Remco and Jitz. Like, hey, how are you doing? What are your best practices? How do you deal with such a situation? So I think if you're a remote worker, just you know, reach out to those people. Reach out to your coworkers. How do you handle those situations?
Yeah, and I think it's still important to, like you said, to meet up with people physically. So go out from time to time, have a run, talk to people, have that phone call like you mentioned, or go
like
out
Marco,
to
suggested do some grocery shopping because we in the Netherlands we have quite a few of people in our community basically working in the same situation, right? We do not have an office, or well, the three of you actually have an office. Even Remco has three offices in the Netherlands, right? That's correct, or.
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
I don't even have an office in the Netherlands, but we have this physical EUC community. So a lot of those people in the same situation, we meet up every once in a while, just sitting at someone's home, having a few beers or having a dinner all together. So then we can discuss all challenges or all benefits of working remotely. But so far, Remco, you've had enough social interaction with doing the groceries, because each and every time when we try to organize something, you're some place different, right? So
it's partially because it's usually on a Friday, which is you know, a busy day for me. But true.
Yeah. No, but it's nice to meet each other every once in a while, even though we meet at events. But still, it's nice just to sit at someone's couch and have a few beers or something.
I think so, we can continue talking on and on about this topic, but we need to wrap it up. So what do companies have to consider when providing this to their employees? Any constraints or technologies, cultural or anything else?
So one thing we do in the company I work for is there is a tool running on all laptops and virtual desktops, and it pops up daily questions. I can show you today's questions. Today's one is, I have someone at work who I feel comfortable asking for advice. And then you can reply to this, and your team leader can see the responses, just not on a personal level. So I guess these little things help with, you know, where you can say, you know, I would like to have help on this, or I have someone who I can ask advice, or, you know, how did you do this? So maybe, you know, if you start working remote freshly, find someone in your team or that you're comfortable asking to, who's done it for a longer time, and like, you know, how did you do this? Do you have some tips or recommendations for me? And yeah, to that extent, I'm very curious because, you know, given the situation we are in with Corona or COVID-19, I think a lot of people who do not usually work from home are working from home now. So I guess it would also be interesting to reverse the question, like when you first started working from home, what were your challenges?
Yeah, what are the pitfalls?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's not just the personal pitfalls and the personal challenges. I think it's very important for the organization. So that as a manager or as an organization as a whole, you know, do facilitate your people with the right technology. I mean, that makes, that's for sure. But also be flexible in, like, don't try to stick to your old mantra, like, hey, you come in at 9 and then you end up at 5, because otherwise you're not productive. I think there are a lot of cultural changes needed for some organizations. And I think, obviously we work in this space, so we, you know, you eat your own dog food or you drink your own champagne. I think that sounds better. You drink your own champagne, and so you are already an organization that's open for people working from home. I think that's probably a culture change needed at an organization for you as an individual to be successful working from home.
Yeah, sure. You touched my pitfall, and it was I didn't felt productive. It helped to put on a list with your daily tasks and don't wipe them off your whiteboard or get them out.
Yeah, and so, I probably also, you know, like Remco said, like if you have a pulse survey, like every day you get a, like, you know, pulse question, I think that helps you keeping engaged, right? So keeping your employee engaged to the organization, you know, providing a solution such as a pulse or what's it called again, Remco? The Teams or Slack equivalent, Chime.
Chime.
Was it Chime? Yeah. Chime. So, you know, providing such a solution, a Chime, where there are certain channels, having social channels where you can just talk about cats if you want to, but also having, you know, dedicated team channels. I think if as an organization, if you don't have those tools, you're pretty isolated at home. So I think that's probably something that every organization should consider having and implementing it the right way, so people are actually engaged at home.
So one final pro tip from Remco.
So if I'd have to pick one, dedicated place. So have a place. When you sit there, you're working. When you sit in other places, you're not working. This gives yourself and others a clear distinction when you're working and when you're not working.
That's a good tip. So thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this snack as we try to serve you the right amount of EUC for your appetite. If you have anything you want to add here or just want to stay in touch, reach out to us. This can be on our social channels or by email on podcast@euc.com. Cheers, love, and rockets.
This podcast is brought to you by iGel. iGel offers the next generation edge operating system designed for simple, secure, and high performance access to virtual desktops and cloud workspaces. Easy to implement and straightforward to operate.